Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and we have arrived to Friday, November 10th. So isn't it nice that we've had another week, and we've got a weekend ahead of us. So that's good. That's good. I want to start with a passage out of Job. In Job 37, it said, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour. And I guess if Moses had kept writing that verse, he might have said, and in international falls, let there be really frigid temperatures. Looks like it's going to be about 11 below there today. So it is time to get out the really heavy-duty coats and get ready for what's ahead. In the upper Midwest, it is not pretty. If you like cold weather and snow, you're not like me. But nice to have you in the listening family because it's nice to have a little diversity. So we have a great show today with Carmen LaBurge coming up in just a minute. We're going to talk to her. And then we've got Alex McFarland. Dr. Alex McFarland is always great. And then coming up in the second hour, Murray Howe, Dr. Murray Howe. And he is the youngest son of hockey great legend Gordie Howe. And he's got a book called Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. And if you're a hockey fan, you know that Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, was number nine. So we're going to have an interesting conversation with him. And then Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, is going to be with us later in the second hour. So that's how we're going to start our day. It's going to be good. Also on this day, in 1908, a Gideon Bible was placed in a room at the Superior Hotel in Iron Mountains, Montana. The action started a long-standing tradition at hotels around the world. I don't know if they do that anymore. If the Gideons are still getting Bibles in hotel rooms, I'd like to find out. Maybe you've recently been in a hotel room and you opened up the drawer next to the bedstand and boom, there was your Gideon Bible. And did you get it out? And did you look at it? And did you read it? So curious if you have had that experience. I'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. You can just leave a message, too, if you want, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Just kind of curious about the Gideon Bibles. Are they still out in circulation?
I think they are. I think last time I was in I'm one of those weirdos, though, because I like to leave a little note card in the Bible.
You do?
When I leave. Yeah. Have you ever done that before?
I don't think I have.
Yeah. I'll just write like a little smiley face on a note card and stick it in to a specific place. And then people might look at it and they think, oh, well, someone's been reading this. I wonder what they were reading. And then they see a little smiley face and they open the Bible.
That's really cool. I'm glad to know that.
I'm a dork, but that's okay.
Well, that's what you say about yourself. All right. I'm going to take a little break. And then Carmen LaBurge is already on our studio line. And she is from reconnectwithcarmen.com if you want to check out all of her cool stuff. Be back in a minute. Hey, thanks for tuning in this morning. Glad to have you with us. It's 8 minutes after the hour, and so we're just getting our day started. Coffee's on, and I hope you are looking forward to your weekend and your busy day. Whatever it is, I pray a blessing upon you. As a matter of fact, a Psalm 91 blessing, so go look that up. Anyway, Carmen LaBurge is on the studio line, reconnectwithcarmen.com. Always nice to hear talk to you on Fridays, Carmen. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Bill. I'm great. I have an answer to your question.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so yes, the Gideons absolutely still very enthusiastically distribute Bibles around the country and around the world in hotel rooms. Gideons International is actually based in Nashville, Tennessee. So I know something of which I speak, but but it's brands, chains of hotels like Marriott.
Okay.
So when they rolled out their latest models of like millennial version hotels, in those particular chains, they have decided not to include any sort of religious material because they are targeting a clientele that is increasingly non-religious.
Okay.
And so where if you went into just a regular old Marriott today, you would see not only a Bible, but a Book of Mormon. But if you went into one of their new branded hotels like Moxie or Edition, mm-hmm. you would find no religious material at all. Huh. So part of that is the move among millennials to read things off their phones. And so greater emphasis being placed on delivering the Bible in ways that maybe not be in print format. So there you go. That's my two cents on the Gideon question, and certainly celebrating with you the way they distribute the word of God throughout the world, because you and I both know it never returns void.
Never, ever, ever. So I appreciate that. I know. I love having that information. So that actually does answer my question.
I'm here to help, man.
No kidding.
I'm here to help.
No kidding. All right, Dr. Graham.
What else do you want to know today?
Well, Dr. Graham going into his 100th year of life, what an impact he has had. I like talking about him.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that even for you guys at Faith Radio, there's a shared history there with Dr. Graham. You want to share that with folks before I?
Well, he was president of the college at the time and prayed the dedicatory prayer for Faith Radio in 1948.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that they're literally, I mean, even the research reveals this. If folks want to check it out, it's at lifewayresearch.com. The research reveals that there are just very, very few Americans who don't recognize the name of Billy Graham and who haven't been influenced in some significant way by, one of the pinnacles of his ministries. And so, in giving thanksgiving to God for this one man and his particular influence, I also think that it's just important for every Christian to recognize Billy Graham. He's just a really this might sound crazy to say, but he's an average guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if any one of us were to press the full force of our life into the advancement of the gospel, if literally we were to give ourselves as thoroughly to the advancement of Jesus Christ in our generation as Billy Graham did in his, what might our legacy be? We may not live 100 years, but in this year of the Lord, what kind of impact could we make for the gospel, and what eternal difference would that make for people? I mean, I think that one of the extraordinary realities about Billy Graham is he never saw a person as confined to this worldly reality, to this sphere of time and space. He always viewed a person as an eternal being, and he was concerned certainly about what their life would be like here upon the earth, but he was even more deeply concerned about where they were going to spend eternity. And he wanted to be sure that people knew and people know who Jesus Christ is as the way to salvation.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage everybody to embrace that kind of spirit today.
Yeah, he kept the main thing, didn't he?
Absolutely. And he continues, to keep the main thing, when we look at the story out of Sutherland Springs, Texas, who were the very first responders on the scene in terms of Christians racing into that community to offer support? Well, it was the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They have this emergency response team of people who are absolutely prepared to deal with grief. And it's this cadre of counselors who come alongside communities in times of trauma. They're the first people on the scene when they'll park that bus right in the middle of a hot zone that police won't even go into. And they'll also, go into places where there's been a mass shooting or even a natural disaster. And We think about these big crusades, but there are also these one-on-one personal crusades where the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is equipping individuals to do extraordinary work just in the communities of our country.
I always found it kind of fascinating that Billy Graham's world headquarters was here in Minneapolis. And if you asked 99% of people in the city, where is the Billy Graham headquarters, they'd look at you and go, I don't know. It's here?
Right.
They wouldn't know because it's that understated. I remember going over there for the first time and thinking, okay, it's got to be in this area somewhere here. And then I finally found it, and I thought, this is so understated. This is so humble. It's just kind of the way he does his ministry, goes about his ministry.
He'd probably be pretty embarrassed this week that his name was spoken so often because he would certainly want the name of Jesus to be made famous above his own. That is the character of the man through and through. And so maybe we should encourage everybody as they remember Billy Graham and thank God for him to speak the name of Jesus in the very next breath, because that is certainly what Dr. Graham would want.
Yeah, and Carmen, I love evangelism. I also love discipleship, because Jesus said, let's go make disciples. And certainly there's been lots of people who have had an experience of having an evangelism experience, but have they actually grown in their faith? Have they been discipled? Have they been nurtured in their walk? And so we always have to pray for people that go to evangelistic outreach events, that they actually, that the gospel takes hold in their life and they become fully devoted followers of Christ.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the unique things about the Billy Graham Crusades is that they very, very intentionally worked through a network of churches in the communities where they went, precisely for the reason that you are articulating.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to share the good news of the gospel with another person. It's another thing to walk with them through their journey of discipleship. You and I both know that that's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment experience. I need somebody to walk with me once I have repented of my sin. I need to see what the pattern of a Christian life looks like, which means I need to be walking with a Christian. And that process of discipleship is something that the local church is particularly well equipped to do. In fact, it's her calling. Billy Graham and other, I mean, now we would look at Luis Palau and we would look at other evangelistic outreaches. They partner with local churches in those communities that host those events in order that following the event, those who make commitments can actually be discipled by local congregations.
Mm-hmm. Carmen, let me take a break. And when I come back, let's chat a little bit about Sutherland Springs. It looks like they're going to take that church down, create a memorial, and then maybe rebuild a new church. We'll talk about that. It's 16 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Carmen LeBurge from ReconnectWithCarmen.com. I'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Carmen LeBurge from ReconnectWithCarmen.com. And Carmen, God's still on the throne, and lots of horror and tragedy in the world, but he's in charge. I'm just looking at the ugliness of what happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas with that shooting, and there is great opportunities for tremendous revival and redemption even in the midst of that horror.
Certainly the gates of hell will not prevail
Yes.
against the church. And yet in moments like this, you know, I just want to echo what the vice president said at the event on Wednesday night when people from communities all around Southern Springs gathered together for a vigil at a high school that's nearby. We weep with those who weep, and we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I mean, we recognize even in the depths of despair that Job experienced, we recognize that our Redeemer lives, and one day he is going to walk upon this earth,
mm-hmm.
And he's going to do so again. And so when we encounter events like this, I think that allowing the testimony of the lives of those who were slain, allowing their testimonies to be the words that that fill our lips, I think that allowing the testimonies of the people who knew these people. One of the things that it certainly appears that God is doing is God is using this to not only encourage the faithful, but to reach beyond those who are currently in a relationship with him, to invite them in. There are literally generations of people in and around this little town in Texas who are coming to the Lord because of this event. Now, that is certainly not the gunman's intent,
mm-hmm.
But it is certainly also evidence that God is still in the business of using what others mean for evil and using them for his own glory and to draw people unto himself. So if folks have not read the testimonies of people who went to the vigil on Wednesday night, that would be something I would really encourage people to find today.
Just Google the testimonies of the people from the
I think the LA Times coverage is probably the best.
Okay.
The LA Times coverage really chronicles a whole list of people who attended that event, and it tells it's allowing the people who went to the event to describe the people who were killed and how they knew them. And so as these, you know, as people describe Steve Williford, the neighbor who intervened, you know, he's a local plumber.
I know he is.
And they talk about, you know, they talk about the power of the neighbor. Well, you and I, we know that preaches, right? Who is my neighbor? It's
exactly.
The one who shows mercy.
I know.
When they, you know, and so when they talk about the tragedy and the evil, they also talk about overcoming evil with good. The testimonies flowing out of this that are of potential, you know, I don't want to say we're going to use this. That's the wrong, probably, language. But God certainly intends to take this event and use it to build up his church. So even as they tear down that physical building, the Church of Jesus Christ is being built up.
I agree. And Stephen Williford, the neighbor who ran out barefoot, and took his own, put his own life at risk, engaging with this guy, this shooter. He said that, you know, he's a rifle instructor, and he said, I was simply doing what God called me to do, and also using the talent God has given me to try to stop this tragedy. So he was quite humble about the whole thing as well.
Well, and I think that when each and every one of us consider what are we prepared to do on any given day. We have to remember that, you know, these precious 26 people were a part of a worshiping community that's a part of a larger body that we are also a part of. And so we constitute here on earth what, you know, what we call the church militant. They are now a part of the church triumphant. And so what does it look like to be the church militant in this generation? What does it mean to actually not only stand our ground when called upon to do so, but what does it look like to advance against the enemy? The enemy is actively seeking to take territory. The enemy is actively seeking to advance in and around the world. And so if we're going to be the church militant, then we got to be as prepared as this neighbor was to actually engage when we experience evil in our midst.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carmen, analyze this little headline for me. Politics is downstream of culture. What does that mean?
So politics is downstream of culture is something that probably every cultural conservative in your listening area says, well, yeah, absolutely. That's something Chuck Colson said. We all memorized it. We all say it. But I think that what's important to recognize is that culture is also like this is a river that flows both ways.
Okay.
And you and I need to be prepared. You and I need to be prepared to no matter which way the water is flowing, if we're hearing things from the political world where they are seeking to influence the culture, you and I as Christians need to be interpreters of that. We need to engage that. When the water's flowing the other direction, when politics is actually responding, you know, holding its finger in the air and responding to the cultural currents of the day, we also, as good citizens, need to be responding to that, which means we need to be engaging in politics. And so I think that what this, what the article that you're referring to in firstthings.com, what it is seeking to have us recognize as Christians, particularly Christians who happen to be conservative in terms of their politics, is that this river flows both directions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be actively engaging in culture making. We need to be the culture makers. We need to recognize that culture is like a garden. And if we leave it untended, it is going to not just go to weed, but go to seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to actively engage in the culture, but we also have to actively engage in the political process and the political system. And so if there's something that you don't like about either the law of the land or the way the law is being interpreted and or applied, then you got to engage. And the beauty of America is that each and every one of us has the freedom to do that.
Carmen, where does the average person find the time and energy to do all this?
Yeah, so I think we do it as we go. You know, the Great Commission is as you go, make disciples of all nations. And so so really it's about recognizing that as you go, no matter where you are, no matter what encounter you're in, as you go, you are making culture.
Okay.
By everything that you choose to listen to, by every movie you choose to go to, by every dollar you choose to spend and where you spend it, by every idea you repeat, you are actually making the culture today. And so, you know, I think that we ought to be people who not only saturate our lives with the scriptures, but we only allow things that that are good to enter into our eyes and hearts. And then we only let those saying good things flow back out. So I think that it's as we go that this happens.
Oh, I just think that's a brilliant answer. I really love that, because that's something that we can effectively start reminding ourselves of. What we're doing every day is making culture and making a difference and having an influence.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's Friday night. People are probably thinking about things that they're going to do this weekend. Apparently, it's cold and snowy in some regions that we're talking to right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the movies might be a place that people head. You know, as Christians, we ought to be making decisions about which kinds of cultural products we're supporting based on our faith.
Right.
So as you go to the movies, what are you choosing to watch?
Yeah.
That might just be one starting point for the conversation today.
Yeah. Great wisdom, as always, Carmen. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Talk to you next week. It's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and go listen to Lighten Up with Ken Davis.
Paycheck is getting lighter, but I'll take it a day at a time. First of the month keeps it coming up much too much, but I'll make it a day at a time.
It is 30 minutes after the hour. At the top of the hour, I made some point about International Falls being 11 below, and embarrass Minnesota. Got all upset, so they've plunged to 14 below now. So let's see if International Falls can catch up. Otherwise, Embarrass is going to be the winner today. Take a little break for news and be back with Dr. Alex McFarland in just about 9 minutes.
We're connecting faith and life together.
I mean, it's always a challenge to keep our thoughts on Jesus in the midst of all the distractions that are going on around us. And I find that if I turn to other places on the radio, I can easily start to get my mind thinking on topics that really aren't helpful to my soul. Listening brings me back and makes me a healthier person, emotionally, spiritually, enriches my life and leads to more flourishing along the way.
It's the intersection of faith and life. Faith Radio.
Unfortunately, religious tolerance has devolved into a secular monstrosity called multiculturalism. This is Jim Garlow. In other words, multiculturalism says all religions are the same. But all religions are not the same. Each one has its own worldview and its system of ethics. Take, for example, communist China, where elitist totalitarianism is based on the religion of humanism. All religions are based on some authority. The heightened cultural tensions we have in America are a tug of war between competing religious ideologies. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator and Redeemer and Judge of all men, commands us to share the gospel to all. No legitimate government can infringe on our declaring the only truth that can save and redeem our fellow human beings. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
All right, it's 23 minutes until the top of the hour. Dr. Alex McFarland is a religion and culture expert, director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University. He's co-host of American Family Radio Talk Network Exploring the Word talk show and a host of the Viral Truth radio and TV program. He does it all. He's written 19 books, maybe 20, maybe 21 by now. Who knows? I haven't talked to him in a week. He works fast. He's on his new iPhone at the Atlanta airport. And if you got an iPhone 10, Alex, we're paying you too much money.
Good morning, my brother. And thank you for bearing with me as I'm at a noisy airport.
Oh, we just love having you wherever you are. It doesn't matter.
Well, you're very kind. How are things up in Minnesota?
Well, it's a little chilly today, but that's what we're used to. I want to start off our conversation, Alex, this morning with kind of a fun factoid here. Let's see. Where do I start with this? The Atheist Convention has been canceled due to lack of interest. The conference, ironically titled Reason to Hope, which was to feature Richard Dawkins, Salman Rushdie, and other prominent anti-religious thinkers, has been canceled, citing poor ticket sales.
Wow. That is wild. That is wild. Now, is that the one that was to be put on by American atheists or?
Global atheists. Global atheists.
Global atheists.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and isn't that ironic that their title would have been Reason to Hope?
yeah.
When really there is no hope apart from God, the ultimate hope.
Right.
Coincidentally, in the news yesterday, did you see the Flat Earth convention that was going on?
I didn't because I didn't read the comics.
Good comeback. Yeah. And there were actually people, this was on one of the national newswire services, people that I'll have to admit, some of them look like they probably have, you know, tinfoil hats they wear. But there were some people that were suit and tie and fairly articulate explaining why they don't believe the Earth is spherical. They believe in a flat Earth. But whether it's the rejection of a creator or a flat Earth, I mean, there's no limit to the amount of delusions and, you know, self-deceptions in which humans can engage.
Alex, I don't really know why there's such a plunge in ticket sales, because the last global atheist convention was held in 2012 in Melbourne, Australia. And this one is again in Australia. They had 4,000 attendees at the last one. This one they're canceling due to lack of interest.
You know, it's funny. I was supposed to debate David Silverman in 2012, and he pulled out because he was going to that one in Australia.
Interesting.
And you're right. I'm looking at this now about the Global Atheist Convention being canceled due to lack of interest. You know what? I really do think I hope atheism as a pop force has peaked. You know, 10 years ago, we saw a splash of books like from Richard Dawkins and the late Christopher Hitchens, who I interviewed and debated. And then, you know, David Silverman, my friend, God bless David Silverman of American Atheists, but we've debated, I think, 7 times, and he is a friend. But he wrote a book, and he told me for a couple of years, he said, hey, I'm working on a book. It's going to be this definitive thing on atheism. I said, well, super. I look forward to reading it. The title of the book, Fighting God. I said, David, you know, we're close friends. Forgive me. Okay, there is no God, and yet you're fighting him. Interesting. I said, you know, and we theists, we Christians are the one that you think are, you know, inconsistent. There is no God, and yet you're fighting him. Whatever. But, you know, I think the Word of God and human, you know, logic itself just tells us, I mean, it's undeniable. Every effect has a cause, and life itself in the universe is a great, huge effect in which we interact every single day. There had to be a cause. There had to be a cause.
Mm.
And through the Word of God, we can learn not only who that cause is, but how we can have a personal relationship with him through faith. And it's Jesus Christ.
If you're an atheist, how can you be so mad about something you claim doesn't exist?
Exactly. You know, I've often said that the posture of so many atheists, and listen, I wrote two books. It was going to be one book. It became two books, 10 Answers for Atheists and 10 Answers for Skeptics, because I do differentiate that there are some nuances between agnosticism and skepticism and flat-out atheism. But interviewed 34 atheists, including Hitchens, and like Michael Shermer of Skeptic Magazine. And I found that the road to doubt begins with some sort of emotional pain, universally. Bill, I was at a university to speak, East Carolina University, in Greenville, North Carolina, Monday night, and I was talking with some students that claimed to be atheists. And I, you know, asked them, I said, have you always been an atheist? And, you know, always. It's like, no, I used to believe in God. Well, what happened? Well, this, that, and the other happened. Emotional pain or some sort of negative, you know, painful experience, maybe some toxic church experience, or maybe the loss of a loved one, or maybe what they perceive as an unanswered prayer. The road to unbelief begins with some sort of pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very telling, that the default position of the human mind is to recognize a creator.
Yeah, that's really, really wise, Alex. I really like that. I want to ask you a little bit now, if we can, about some of the aftermath of Sutherland Springs, where the shooter took the lives of 27.
And yeah. By the way, a proud vocal atheist, Devin Kelly, was. you know, on his Facebook page, and to his friends, he had been pretty brazen about his atheism. And I think that's something worth pointing out.
Yeah, he was quite vocal and let everybody know how stupid they were to believe in God. And that was his message over and over.
Well, you know, it is unspeakably tragic. I mean, we've not even really had time to process the Las Vegas shooting. And then just think a week ago today, the man in New York City that rented a truck and ran over innocent pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was hitting the wire, there was a shooting in Colorado. I've been saying this for 20 years now since Columbine, but, would it be so wrong? Would it be so wrong to tell our culture and especially young people, hey, there is the Ten Commandments. There are the Ten Commandments, and there is natural law. Whether you call it the Ten Commandments or not, all cultures throughout history have recognized some basic moral, ethical principles, these moral imperatives, the oughts and the ought-nots, one of which being thou ought not murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Bill, that secularists will cry, okay, that violates the First Amendment, but it really doesn't. Religion and morality are two different things, and there is a common, basic, core moral knowledge that the human race shares and knows. And C.S. Lewis wrote about it in The Abolition of Man. At UT Austin, a very brilliant scholar named Jay Budziszewski has written about it. The head of the political science department at Austin, University of Texas at Austin, Jay Budziszewski, wrote a book a few years ago called What You Can't Not Know. And it, among other, there have been many books like this, but it documents how throughout the world, throughout history, you know, people have believed you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't murder. And it doesn't violate the First Amendment to tell our kids about morality in no way constitutes the establishment of a religion. And so, you know, I just wonder how many more tragedies we have to endure before some academics, some elected officials, some people in leadership will say, you know, gee whiz, maybe we ought to talk about morality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Alex, let me go to break. When I come back, we'll continue our conversation speaking to Dr. Alex McFarland. It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. It is 12 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Dr. Alex McFarland, who's speaking to us from a secure boarding gate area at Hartsfield's Jackson Atlanta International Airport, complete with 5 runways. I assume you've been on all 5 in your life.
Probably. it is scandalous how much time I've spent in the Atlanta airport. But thank you for being willing to talk to me. You know, it's funny. I can sit in an area. It's quiet. And you go on air and suddenly it gets really noisy. So I apologize.
No, I know. You are such a comforting voice every time you are on the air. I don't care where you're calling from. I love the calm you bring. I love the perspective you bring. And I love the encouragement you bring. And I know it. I speak for myself. So whether or not the listeners are feeling the same way, I know I feel this way because you help me put my fighting boots back on to go out and confront what's going on in the world with confidence. And you always remind me that, you know, God's on the throne in this and he's in charge. So we need to just follow him.
Oh, well, you know, we just, 9-10 days ago commemorated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, you know, and you and I talked about that. But I got to tell you, times are challenging and stuff happens, you know, nationally, locally, and personally. But for the Christian, I mean, there's always a reason to get up in the morning and to greet the day with enthusiasm. Because, I mean, think about this, and I'm not trying to be, you know, just platitudes, pie in the sky, but this is what we were made for as God's ambassadors here in the world, to shine the light of Jesus, to present and even defend the faith, in spite of challenges, because here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 15, after talking about the resurrection of Christ, the chapter concludes, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Well, there's a type of argument, it's like from the greater to the lesser. And think about this. Imagine like if an athlete could bench press 500 pounds, he could probably lift, you know, a 50-pound bag of sand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can do the greater, you can do the lesser.
Right.
If somebody could do calculus, they probably could reconcile the checkbook. Okay, if God could create the universe, sustain the human race, conquer the grave, pay for sin, you know, conquer death, then yes, he can probably help me through whatever I'm facing on Monday morning. And plus, in Christ, I mean, not only is he with us, he'll help us. It counts for eternity. It could contribute to the salvation of some lost soul, but you'll be rewarded in heaven. So we really honestly do have every reason to keep our chin up and to stay hopeful and stay on point and be mindful of the fact that we serve the King of Kings, who is very much alive and well.
Yeah. Alex, what about the decision, in your opinion, to take the existing church down in Sutherland and maybe turn it into a memorial and then start a new church on a property the church owns and start over?
You know, I actually think it probably is the best and maybe only decision. It's probably pretty cathartic when they do that, because no doubt the church members there could never enter that sanctuary again without feeling some sort of trauma or residual pain. And, you know, it probably would be fairly hard to, you know, be marketable to the community. You know, I think that would be one of the best ways to move forward, to really have a fresh start and to have a memorial to the community. I know at other sites where tragedies and, you know, shootings and things have occurred, they've done similar things. Frankly, when I read that yesterday, that they were going to raise the sanctuary and build something new, I felt like that probably is the best decision. Did I hear you say you agree?
Well, I do. I think it's probably a really good decision to start brand new. Obviously, they've lost half of their church family, so they're going to need to start some rebuilding anyway. So they got a lot of work ahead of them.
And they really do. I thought it was an incredibly magnanimous gesture that the Southern Baptist Convention wanted to, and is, as far as I know, is going to pay for all of the funerals.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's lovely.
It really is. It really is. And you know what I want to say regarding Devin Kelly? You know, this is so sad on just multiple levels, and I'm sure everybody has heard in the news about how so many warning flags, you know, slipped through the cracks, and his dishonorable discharge and domestic violence, and he had made many threats. But the thing is, and it has to be pointed out, he was living out his worldview. He believed wrongly that there is no God, and with no God, there is no moral, you know, boundary lines to acknowledge, and he just, you know, lived out his worldview. And, you know, I got a couple of tweets and things where people said, oh, you know, where is God? How did your God allow this to happen? And I said, well, if you're an atheist, you can't really say this is a tragedy. I mean, it's something that happened, but in a world without an ultimate moral, you know, measuring stick, it's neither good or bad. It's just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we know every, you know, living person with any thimble of moral sensibilities knows this is horribly evil, and we can only say it was wrong if there is an ultimate moral standard that was violated. And so, you know, I will tell you, The slew of atheist pushback that I usually get when something like this in the news, it was minimal this time. And I think you can't read this and follow this story without saying, okay, this was wrong. This was wrong, wrong, wrong. And I'm just hoping that it's causing our nation to pray and maybe causing our nation to realize that we seriously need God in our midst once again.
Mm-hmm. Alex, always nice having you on the show. If I might just pray a quick blessing for you. I know you're on at the airport. Heavenly Father, please give our brother Alex the energy and focus to do his work tonight. And as he brings glory and honor to your name, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Talk to you again soon. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
Yep. 4 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take a little break and then come back in the top of the next hour. At about 8 minutes after, we're going to talk to Dr. Murray Howe. He's got a pretty, pretty famous dad. And you'll find out more about that at 4 minutes after the hour. Be back in a minute. Special thanks to Dr. Alex McFarland and Carmen LaBurge. My guests in the first hour, they're sensational. They just do such a great job. I always look forward to talking to them. And that wraps up hour one. We're going to look at hour two with great enthusiasm and anticipation. My first guest at 8 minutes after the hour will be Dr. Murray Howe. His dad is Mr. Hockey, Gordy Howe, number 9 for the Detroit Red Wings, 6 decades of hockey, and what a story. He's written a book called 9 Lessons I Learned from My Dad. So that will be the start of hour two, and then we're going to talk to our friend, the millennial evangelical Chris Martin. So that's our show coming up. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.